Thank you.
Thank you. presentation of All Holy Night. John?
Where is it?
I'm sure this is a familiar Christmas song for many of you. What might not be familiar is the third verse, which I didn't really get permission for. The third verse was written by Will's mom, Carol Swain, and I'm happy to share that with you this morning. All Holy Night.
It just kicked it out. It just kicked it out on me. I don't know why.
Sweet hymns of joy. South Crown Brook area. So we're able to potentially provide gift cards that would go through Judy Gallagher to her daughter-in-law, that she can get them out into the school system. There was a great need this Christmas season for families that have been displaced and don't have lost a lot of items, personal items, from the recent hurricanes. So if you're able to, would you please consider bringing me a gift card tonight when you come to the Christmas party? And with that, we've asked Solomon, Brother Solomon David, to come forward and give us a closing message. He and Angela and Ethan and Shiloh, they're very much loved by our assembly here. And so, Brother Solomon, we'll let that, give it over to you, and then you can close our time and word of prayer. So thank you, Brother.
Thank you. I wish this music continues for some more time. I wish and thank God for the wonderful talent that God has blessed. And thank you for each one of you to actually come and present your talent and you did it for the Lord. Thank you very much. And I really love the kids coming in like and playing with us. It was really good. Thank you very much. I promise I'll be brief. For our meditation, this should be a very short devotion. I want you to turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. For those who it's already been put there on the screen. We are reading three verses, and can I encourage all of you to read along with me? It's very visible. Luke chapter 2, 8 to 11. And this is about when Jesus was born, the angels come and shepherds were there, you know, shepherding their flocks in the countryside, and the angels come to shepherd. This was the first message after Jesus was born, telling the coming birth of Jesus. Let's all of us, can I encourage all of you to read along with me? And
there were shepherds living out in the fields and high, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord."
What is this good news all about? When the shepherds heard for the first time, they were afraid. And this good news has been talked and spoken about, written about, sung about for 2,000 years, and every year when Christmas comes in, it's always fresh. I don't recollect reading a book again and again and having the same enthusiasm to see what is there in it. I don't recollect watching a movie again and again with the same enthusiasm. But Christmas, as a story, has the same message. It's the same message, but it's always people look forward to that. I'm sure all of you are looking forward to the Saturday, Christmas Day. Right. I mean, each one would be different, may have different perspective, but it's always something new. What is that something new? Why is it Christmas? Why is it that Christmas excites each one of us, irrespective of race, religion, caste, creed? What is there? It is this good news. What is this good news all about? Right? What is this meaning of this Christmas? So, sometime back during the wartime, the mothers were left behind with young children to take care, and fathers were there in the war. And when the fathers were in the war, mother had this difficulty of trying to keep the memory of the fathers alive. And moms used to do different techniques to talk about the dad, talk about, you know, make the presence of dad felt at home. And there was one story about a mom during the World War II, where she used to take her young son into the bedroom, and their mom and son, both of them, used to gaze at a large portrait of their father, talking about what father might be doing at this time in the war, away from their home. And at one point of time, one day, the boy looks at the portrait with a very longing face and says, "Mom, would it not be good if dad can just step out of that frame now, right now?" Hmm. And mom was like, "Yeah." And God exactly did the same thing 2,000 years back at Bethlehem, when God stepped out from that frame. Mankind has been looking for that God to come down, to have that fellowship, to talk to that God. And God, as he promised centuries back, has come out of that frame. He stepped out of that frame into the world as a human, as like you and me, so that he can transform you and me. Now, why
who can solve all world's problems. Say for example, if I like an ant, and I love to, you know, I love ant, and I want to demonstrate my love for the ant, no matter how much I do, whatever I do, I can probably feed her the best of the sugars that the ant would love. Ant would never understand my love. The minute I put my hand, ant would run away, because ant doesn't understand. But what if I convert myself into an ant, become an ant, and converse with that ant? That's the reason why God came down in human form, so that you and I can understand that love. And Christmas message is about this. Good news is about not just baby being born, but that baby who is born would grow up and die on that cross for you and me. And that's what John 1:14 talks about. The Word was made flesh. God was God and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So He identified Himself, this God of God, this God identified Himself, came in as a baby. Now what is so different about this baby? Like how different is this from any other baby? This baby was born of a virgin. Without any man in the picture, the baby was born. I'm not, you can ask how. The mother also had the same question. Like when Mary was told by the angels, like, you will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, you will have a baby. Like, she's like in that Luke 1:34, he's like, how will this be? And Mary asked the angel, since I'm virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born. God was manifest in flesh through a virgin birth of me. That's why this baby was different. Now, how does this God stepping out of that frame in a baby matter to us, like 2,000 years later, miles away? This baby was born in Jerusalem, not even close to us. Like, what does it matter today for all of us sitting in this hall? Right? Instantly, right? This baby, when he was born, all the three characters with whom this baby would actually come face to face were actually told, do not be afraid. The father, who is Joseph, was told in a dream, right, while he was contemplating, okay, he was basically contemplating, okay, how is this my, we heard about an engagement this morning, but, so this Mary and Joseph were engaged, not yet married, and she was already pregnant. I'm like, husband is like, I want to leave us privately, but angel of the Lord comes in and tells you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The same thing with Mother Jude. Like, how is this going to happen? Angel says, do not be afraid. Shepherds, when they hear it, do not be afraid. This news is a news of not to be afraid, but is a news of good news. It is about the good news, what God has planned for all of us, right? And why does it matter to us? This news has a transformational power. The shepherds who were so afraid when they heard it, right, when they went back, when they actually went to see the baby in the manger and they returned, the Bible says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, which just has been told. It had a transformational power of everybody that encountered this baby. And the same transformation power you see across the board, like wise men, Simeon, like whoever has seen this baby had a different experience altogether after seeing the baby. Now, what is this transformation power all about? The answer is in Matthew chapter 1. Well, I'll just read that verse for us. Well, basically, the angel comes to Joseph. About, right? Fear not, and your wife, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from sin. We have a lot of kids here. None of us would teach our kids to lie. None of us. They pick it up by themselves. None of us can actually stop them from lying. state be open, they will continue to do that. We cannot transform our own values or our own lives. Forget about transforming or changing lives of kids. So how is it that we can bring in change? We cannot. That's why Jesus steps in. Jesus steps in and he will save his people from their sin. That's why. Why can he do that? Because he is God in human form. And he goes on to the cross. He died on the cross for you and me. That's why in my younger days, to be honest, I was very notorious. Like growing up in teenager, I used to be one of the stellar thieves who can steal anything and everything without getting caught. Thankfully, I was never caught. In India, it's a totally different story. They would beat me if they catch me. Be it my home, be it the store, be it anywhere. That used to be my notoriety. And today, I'm a badger. People bring their money to me. All the way from day one, I will be a badger. It's not about me. It's about transforming power of God, transforming power of Jesus. This Jesus, that is this good news. And Christmas is real if you allow this Jesus to come in and transform your life. He was not born just as a baby on that manger. He was born as a baby to transform my life, your life, our life. And that's a good news. And that is the real message of Christmas. And if only you allow that God to step out of the frame to come into your heart and accept him as a savior. And this is about more of a relationship. This is nothing to do with religion. This is nothing to do with anything. It's more about relationship. It's about, you know, having that personal encounter. And that's why this message, though it is told again and again, is fresh and is exciting. No matter centuries again and again. So many movies have been done. So many songs have been written. But yet it is fresh. It has that power. It has that power. It has that excitement. Because it has the power of transforming you and me for good. And for those of you who have already experienced this transforming power in the Lord, you would have celebrated many Christmases. What is this Christmas going to be different? Is it going to be the same thing of buying gifts, exchanging gifts, running and getting up in the morning and running under the tree and trying to look at what is there for me in the Christmas as a present? Is it about your dinners? Is it about cookies? It's about... May I encourage all of us to probably think back. Can we make this Christmas a different memory for ourselves? A memory that we have an eternal value, a value beyond our life. Anything that we can probably think about in terms of transforming ourselves, transforming people around us, and transforming anybody who comes in the way. I can probably get up in the morning and just sit down instead of probably, you know, running to the Christmas tree and picking up my Christmas present. Get up and, Lord, this Christmas, I really want to sit down and thank you for what you have done. Recollect your encounter with the Lord. Recollect that encounter happened because of this Christmas day. On Christmas Day, Saturday morning, get up and spend a few minutes right on the bed before you put your feet down on the bed. Talk to the Lord. Make it personal. Make it something different and unique this Christmas. Yes, last year Christmas was different because of COVID. Everybody would remember. This year, all the kids who performed here would have their memory because they have performed so well, right? And this would be the first or second or third, whatever, but they will remember that memory. What memory you would want to remember about this Christmas 2021? It could be just a simple thing of you getting up and saying, God, I love you. Thank you for what you have done. Keep it. It could be just that personal memory. Or it could be, so that's where Mary, when she was told about this rite, and she goes to Elizabeth, look in chapter 1, 46 to 48. Like, Mary is basically, she's a virgin, she's yet to be, she's engaged, and yet to be married, and she's told that she'll be having a baby. And then Mary talks about, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of my servant, of his servant. It was so personal, my soul, it is so personal to me. The story, though she is going to be the mom, it was news is good news, and this had a transformation power. Why don't you share? In the Christmas time, we share a lot of gifts, we share a lot of, you know, good presents. Along with the present, share that good news itself. You don't have to preach an eloquent sermon. I don't think anybody would even listen in this time because everybody would be rushing. You can just talk about what God did, how God transformed. Share it with your the mailman. Somebody who's picking up your garbage. When you're giving your presents, talk a little about, take 2 minutes and talk about that good news you have. It may not be big, because I remember once, I think, one of the Christmas, like last Christmas it was, we made this biryani at home, and I know we couldn't invite anybody because of COVID, and it was really good. It tasted so good that morning, and I was like, okay, wish we could share this with anyone. And I remembered Apia, who is in the gas station here, Sonako. He's from, I think, Ghana or something, and his family is back in the thing. And we just remembered, okay, how would it be if we just take some of the biryani and give it to him? I'm telling you, he recollects even now. It could be simple. Share your joy and share your good news. Make this Christmas different. Do not get out from that couch. Get out of that comfort zone. Do something. End with one story that I picked up from David outside. And I'll just read that. And we'll close. Upcoming holiday look room for Scott, who was all alone. He figured out that he was all alone and he just warming up his frozen dinners and watching football with us. Ready with the isolation, he puts up an ad in the newspaper saying, all of you are alone, why don't you come and join, get your dinners with me. Let's have a dinner together. People showed up. It was so different for those 12 people from different backgrounds. That was in 1985. Fast forward, it happened, and Scott put this ad again and again every year around this time. And he has 100 people. Now they meet in a church basement. He has 100 people, people from all walks of life, all people who are strangers, homeless neighbors, who lost their family, people who cannot go to their home for Christmas in time, who cannot travel, all of them come and have this meal together. How the meal is provided, what they do, we do not know. But one man who was alone had one thought, got up from his comfort zone, instead of dreading his isolation, did something different, and brought in a blessing for so many. If Scott